Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
If you have been following Jesus for a while, or if you are religious, you have probably been told that you need to pray, or you need to pray more. And the reason why some of you don't pray is perhaps because you don't really see the value in prayers. Maybe you've been disappointed because of your past many unanswered prayers. This morning, we got to be honest because we are in church. If you want to be honest, probably all of us can admit that very few of our prayers were answered by God. Of course, if you include those prayers for things that were going to happen anyways, yeah, I mean, you can't include them because, as it turns out, your keys are exactly where you left them. As it turns out, you were going to get that job because you were the only person applying or you were the most qualified. As it turns out, your favorite team won the game because they were expected to win anyway. So if you exclude those prayers, and we're talking about prayers for big stuff, we're talking about prayers that if God had not been in it, definitely nothing will happen. Now, maybe you had a few yes to those kind of prayers. But again, if you want to be honest, maybe for many of you, you have a lot of no's for those kinds of prayers. And it's a series of no's for those kinds of prayers that made you convinced that prayers don't really work, that prayer is just a waste of time. And this morning I'm here to tell you, if that's how you feel, if that's what you're thinking, man, we're going to find out that you are not wrong. You are absolutely right. When you pray those kind of prayers, it's very, very difficult for us to kind of agree that God actually listened to us and that He actually answers prayers because your experience told you otherwise. That's why we want to do this sermon series, Grown Up Prayers, because we all want to learn together. I need to learn together with you too. We all need to learn to stop praying childish, immature, shallow kind of prayers, and instead, we need to learn how to pray more grown-up kind of prayers, all right? I hope you're excited. I hope you're looking forward to this, and I have been blessed in preparing this message, and I can't wait to continue to share it with you over the next few weeks, and Tim Healy is going to help me to do this series as well. It's going to be fantastic. Keep coming back and keep inviting your friends, all right? So if you're ready, here we go. One time, when Jesus was praying, the disciples were watching Jesus pray and they were listening in. And when Jesus finished praying, one of the disciples came to Jesus, representing the whole group probably. Maybe he got kicked into like, come on, you ask Jesus. So this disciple of Jesus came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, at this point, we need to stop and ask ourselves, why did the disciples, represented by this one guy, why did they want Jesus to teach them to pray? This is weird. You know why? Because these were Jewish men. They were Jewish men. They grew up knowing how to pray. You know, it's part of their culture. Since they were little, they had been praying, so they knew how to pray. The question is, why did they ask Jesus how to pray? Perhaps God had not answered their prayers either. Maybe because God had not answered their parents' prayers either, or their parents' parents' prayers either. How do I know this? I know this because at the time they asked Jesus this, they made this request to Jesus, they were living under the occupancy of the evil, tyrannical Roman Empire. We're talking about the chosen nation, Israel, living under the harsh rulership of Rome. And before Rome, it was the Greeks. Before the Greeks, it was the Persians. Before the Persians, it was the Babylonians. Before the Babylonians, it was the Assyrians. So for the past 800 years or thereabout, it seems like God had not listened to their prayers. That's why I believe the disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, because maybe the way we've been praying so far, it hadn't worked. Hadn't worked for us, hadn't worked for our parents, hadn't worked for our great-great-grandparents for the past 800 years. Because if you really cared about us, you wouldn't have let this happen. You wouldn't let other nations to rule over us. So Jesus, in a typical Jesus fashion, he didn't begin by answering or, you know, agreeing with their requests. Before Jesus began teaching them how they should pray, Jesus started by telling them how they should not pray. So Jesus began this way. Jesus said, let me see here. Okay. And when you pray, Jesus said, this is very, very important. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray in the synagogues and on the street's corner to be seen by others. You see, Jesus had zero tolerance for hypocrites. Jesus had zero tolerance for pretenders, for people who thought they were better than others. In fact, Jesus knew what's in the hearts of people, and Jesus said, I know you're not better than the rest of the people. So these guys were hiding behind their religious mask to appear better than everybody else, and Jesus said, that's not how you pray. That's not how you pray. And if you pray this way, these guys who prayed this way, they had already received their reward in full. They wanted to be seen by people. They are seen by people. And that's as far as their reward goes. So Jesus said, number one, before I even begin to tell you how you should pray, your motive in prayer is very, very important. Why? Do you pray? Why do you pray? Do you pray to impress others? Do you pray to please people? You should not pray this way, because you will not impress God this way. All right? And then Jesus said this, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Pray in private. What are you telling us, Jesus? That means I can't pray in traffic? Is that what you're telling us? I can't pray before a meal? I can't pray in a golf course? What's going on, Jesus? Maybe the answer is, of course you can pray those prayers. But if you reduce prayers only for when you're praying in traffic, only for when you're praying before meal, only when you're praying in the golf course, Jesus said, man, there's a potential that you might miss the whole point of prayer. Because when you pray, it is very important that you get into your private room where nobody can see you. And then, this is the important part, the reason why you need to pray in the closet is because you are praying to your Father who is unseen. Now, this is in contrast to the religious leaders who prayed to be seen. When you pray to be seen, you would have got your rewards. You would be seen. That's your reward. But when you prayed in private, nobody knows that you are praying. And this is what's going to happen. When you close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father, who sees what is done, what you do in secret, will reward you. And what is the reward? The reward is that you are seen by your Father. The reward is that you are heard by your Father. The religious leaders, their reward, they're seen by people. That's what they want. That's what they get. But you, I don't want you to pray like them, Jesus said. I want you to pray in private. People maybe don't know that you pray. Maybe people think that you never pray. Doesn't matter, Jesus said. What's important is your Heavenly Father knows what you are doing, what is done in secret. And the best part is your Heavenly Father will reward you accordingly. All right? So that's the first instruction from Jesus. And then he continues by saying this. This is the second do not. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. In other words, Jesus said, God is not moved by lengthy prayers. God is not impressed with scripted, well-crafted prayers. You know, if they don't come from the hearts, God is definitely not impressed with them. In fact, God don't even care for the words that you use in your prayers. As far as Jesus is concerned, when you pray scripted, very beautifully crafted prayers, but they don't come from your heart, what Jesus is saying is that as far as God is concerned, you're just babbling. You're just babbling. They don't really mean anything to God, all right? And Jesus, at a different time, he gave this example how of two people going into the temple, one of them a Pharisee. You know, we're talking about the top of the top of the top of the religious leaders, all right? And the other was a tax collector. And this is two different people. You can't get any more two different, you know, individuals, right? One very, very religious, and the other one the outcast of the society. And the religious leader, the Pharisee, obviously prayed beautiful prayers, probably saying all the right things. Actually not, but beautiful, lengthy prayers. And the tax collector, Jesus said, he was sitting far back, maybe with the back against the wall, as far away from the Holy of Holies as possible, facing the Temple Mount. And this is what Jesus said. But the tax collector stood at a distance, didn't even dare coming near. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Wow, Jesus, we're not even sure that's actually a prayer. That's not a very impressive kind of prayer. Are you sure that's even a prayer? That kind of prayer is not going to win an Academy Award or anything like that, all right? But Jesus said, no, let me tell you, the one who gets two thumbs up from Jesus is not the Pharisee, but the tax collector. You know why? Because once again, God is not impressed with your lengthy prayers. God is not impressed with your beautiful words. But what comes from the heart, that is what God is looking for. That's why Jesus said, do not be like them. Do not be like people who equate lengthy prayers with merit. No, don't be like that. Your words are not even important. Let me tell you why your words are not even important. Jesus said, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So Jesus, what's the point of prayer then? If the Heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask Him, what is the whole point of prayer? You see, this is where Jesus is brilliant, right? He really gets their attention now, and every one of the disciples, they're all leaning in, just listening in time. Okay, I want to know now. And Jesus is about to tell them, you know, why they still need to continue to pray, even though the Heavenly Father already knows what they need before they ask Him. So Jesus said this. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. This is how you should start. He is your Father. What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus telling us that God is masculine? Is Jesus telling us that God is a male? No, not at all. For those of you who maybe you don't become a Christian because you don't like the fact that Christianity is very male-centric and everything revolves around male, that's not what Jesus is trying to say at all. God is spirit. He doesn't have a gender. He is asexual, right? So what is Jesus saying? What Jesus is saying is this. When you pray, you need to know who you're praying to. You are praying to your heavenly Father. Jesus is trying to communicate to us mere mortals in a language that we can understand, and Jesus is trying to portray the closest, most intimate kind of relationship that he could imagine. And Jesus said, this is how God invites you to address him. Address him as your heavenly Father because he cares for you. Throw your anxiety, your cares upon him because he cares for you. Now, for many of us, we don't have a problem with this term because we grew up under a good father, you know. But for some of us, this term brings a lot of hurt. For some of you, this term actually is very disappointing for you. You can't imagine God as a good father. And I empathize with you. I'm sorry that you had to go through what you went through with your father. I want to encourage you with this word from Louis Giglio that I shared a few weeks ago. God is not the reflection of your earthly dad. He is the perfection of your earthly dad. You know, whatever you wish your earthly father wasn't, you know, God is all of that and more, you know. That's what Jesus is trying to say. This person that you're talking to, he wants to be intimate with you. That's why you need to go into your private room and pray to your father who is unseen, because you can't be intimate. You can't have this close connection praying in traffic. You know, it's very difficult. You can't, you know, simmer and enjoy the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with him, you know, praying a 5-second prayer before meal. That's why it's important for you to be somewhere private where you can just say whatever you need to say to your Heavenly Father, using whatever tone that you need to use to your Heavenly Father. This is the kind of relationship that God wants with you. And then Jesus continues. So this is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hagiazo in the Greek, translated hallowed. Sometimes it's translated holy. Sometimes it is translated separate one. Now, what Jesus is saying is, this God, this is so important. This is what we miss, you know. And when we miss this, we potentially can miss the rest of the points that Jesus would be making very, very soon. And this is, we don't usually pray this way, but that's why, again, it is important for you to spend some time and reflect on the fact that this God who invites you to address him as Father, he's different from you. That's what Jesus is saying. He's separate. He's a separate being from you totally. He is the uncreated creator. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all the omni that you can imagine. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipotent. That means he can do all things. He is omnipresent. That means he can be everywhere at the same time. You know, and more, he is all of that and more. So this God is not just intimate, he is also infinite. He is like a different being from you altogether. Why is it important for Jesus to tell us this when we pray? Because Jesus wanted us to know that we need to know who he is and we need to know who we are. In other words, we need to know our place when we pray. You and I, we need to know our place when we pray. He is the God, we are not God. Let me ask you, your last prayer, okay? This is not a judgment on you, this is not an indictment on you or anything, but think about your last prayer. For some of you, that was like last year, probably. For others, maybe it was yesterday. But think about your last prayer. Let me ask you, who was God in that prayer? Was God in that prayer of yours? Or were you the God in that prayer? You see how important it is for Jesus to tell us this? He said, you can't do this in traffic. You know, of course God hears you when you pray in traffic, but you can't do this in traffic. You can't reflect on the beauty and the greatness of God and the amazingness of God and the powerfulness of God when you just pray a quick, you know, 5-second, you know, 1-minute kind of prayer. That's why you need to go to your closet and consider who he is, who you're talking to. He is your heavenly Father, yes. He wants, you know, more than anything, you know, to hear you and to fulfill your needs and everything. But you got to remember, he is the Creator God. Hallowed be his name. Holy be his name. Great be his name. He's different from you and I. We're not God. But how often in our prayer life, we are acting like we are God, right? And God is just our servant. He's just a vending machine to fulfill our every need, our every desire, every request. Jesus said, don't do that. When you pray, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Maybe the disciples said, okay, Jesus, I got that. Okay, don't pray to show off. Don't pray long prayers. I got it. You know, address him as Father. Yes, hallowed be his name. Got it. When do we come to the good part? When do we come to the good part? When do we come to, us making requests? Okay, what's next, Jesus? Jesus said, this is what's next. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, what do you mean, Jesus? Your kingdom. What about my kingdom? What about my will? What about my family? What about my work? What about my relationship? What about my finance? What about my fear? What about my anxiety? What about my sick parents? What about this? What about that, Jesus? What? What are you talking about? Jesus said, see, you already forgot what I told you. What did you tell us? I told you that God cares about all that. I already told you, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Oh, sorry, Jesus. You're right. We forgot about that. Are you trying to tell us that we shouldn't begin our prayers with a bunch of requests because our Heavenly Father already knows what we need before? Of course, Jesus. How could we be so stupid? So, Jesus, are you trying to tell us that the reason why I need to pray is not to make God to do my will because he already knows what my will is before I even ask him? Is it right that the reason why I need to pray is not for God to do my will, but maybe for me to do his will? Oh, wow. This makes a lot of difference, Jesus. And Jesus would be smiling at you if you said that to him. And Jesus would say, you are absolutely right. The purpose of prayer is not to impose our will on God, but to surrender our will to God. The purpose of prayer is not to convince God to do your bidding. It's the opposite. Prayer is not for you to move God. It's for you to be moved by God. That's the purpose of prayer. And when you miss this, you will miss the whole point of prayer. You will miss the whole thing, and you have no idea what prayer is for. That's why, you know, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the time when he needed God the most to come through for him, Jesus said to his heavenly Father the night before he was about to be crucified, he said, God, I'm scared. I'm not looking forward to this. Actually, if it's possible, I know I came for this, but if it's possible, can you take this cup away from me, please, Father, please? And yet, Jesus said this, at the end, not my will, but yours be done. You know what hung in the balance of Jesus submitting his agenda to his Father's agenda? You know what hung in the balance? Or more precisely, you know who hung in the balance? You did. I did. The whole world did. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that Jesus chose to submit his will to his Father's will. Because if not, you and I wouldn't be here right now. We would still be living in our sin. You know, when you ask God, reveal to us your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not saying that your will is not important at all. In fact, this is what God is saying. You are so important for my plan for the whole world. You know, Ephesians 2 verse 10, Paul says, God has created you and prepared a good work for you to do. So God wants to tell you, you are bigger. You are bigger than that job that you are praying for. You are so much bigger than that sickness that you're asking healing for. You are so much bigger than whatever financial situation that you want to be out of. You know, you're so much bigger than that because, you know, even though I care about you, this world doesn't revolve around you. I have this will. I have this amazing purpose for the whole world to come back to me. And I want you to know that. So rather than, you know, feeling like, oh man, you know, God is just making me like his slave to do his will. No, God wants to give you significance in this world. He wants to give you significance in this world. Because your life is meant to be so much more than everything that you've been praying for yourself and for your family. All right? Because if you don't have this posture of submission, if you don't have this posture of surrender, you're going to find from time to time in your prayer life that God doesn't really answer your prayer. God doesn't really care. And then ultimately, you're going to conclude that God is not there. All right? When you don't assume the posture of submission in your prayer, you know what that's telling God? It doesn't say anything about God. Oh, God must not be real because he doesn't answer prayer. It's saying a lot about you and how you view God. Maybe you think you are God and God is just, you know, a vending machine. It's just an ATM machine for you. No, he's not that. He is God, the Father Almighty, the Alpha, Omega, and all that and more. But at the same time, he is so intimate. He cares about you. He cares about your need. He already knows what you need before you ask him. So maybe when you pray, you don't begin by asking. Instead, you begin by recognizing who he is. Then you begin by submitting to his will. So, next week, when we come back, we're going to talk about what we need, what we want. So, you don't want to miss it, all right? Really, you don't want to miss it. Make sure you come back next week. But until then, in the meantime, when you pray, why don't you follow the instruction from Jesus? Why don't you pray this way? Address him as your Heavenly Father. He cares so much about you, more than you think, more than you realize. And then you tell him, God, I'm not here to tell you my will. You already know what I want. But I'm here to do your will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my family. Your will be done in my workplace. Your will be done, not my will. Your will be done in my finance. Your will be done in every aspect of my life. You know who hangs in the balance of you submitting your will to the will of your Heavenly Father? Maybe your children's lives hang in the balance. Maybe somebody's eternity hangs in the balance of you submitting your will to the will of your Heavenly Father. Why don't you try that this week and see how you go? Because there's no other way to pray. The real reason, the real purpose of prayer is not for you to tell God what you want. He already knows that. Of course, you can tell him what you want. He would love to hear you. But first and foremost, he already knows. Instead, why don't you align your will to his will? You know, some of the problems that you're in, some of the problems that you are praying for to get out of, I have a suspicion that the reason why you need to pray those prayers anyway is because you had not submitted your will to the will of your Heavenly Father. That's why you got into all kinds of troubles. Perhaps that's the reason. And now you're praying to God to get Him to get you out of your situation. Again, it's all about you again. Even you don't learn your lesson. I don't learn my lesson, right? Sure, ask God to help you to get out of the situation that you're in, that you yourself created. But moving forward, before you get into that situation in the first place, why don't you begin by submitting your will to the will of your Heavenly Father? You will be less and less needing to pray those kind of prayers that you've been praying for. All right? So, declare His greatness, surrender your will, and let me tell you, that is going to revolutionize your prayer life. Amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet right now? I hope you're blessed by that. If you are, come back, invite your friends, share YouTube, whatever you need to do, and let's learn together. By the way, again, everything I said this morning is not just me preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself because I have the tendency to forget. I have the tendency to put my will above God's will. Many of you know my story. For 10 years, we were praying for a child. We were desperate. We were like, at one point, angry with God for not giving us a child. Until we realized, like the three friends of Daniel realized, the song that we sung, God is in control of our lives. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That's the kind of prayer we prayed. When they were demanded to bow down and worship the king, they said, "We will not worship you, king. We believe that God can rescue us from this fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, we're still going to worship Him. We're still going to honor Him. Because it's not about our will, but it's about His will." When you surrender your will to God, I'm not saying that miracles will definitely happen. No. But I'm saying God knows what's best for you. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.